One semester of law school.
One semester of criminal justice.
Two experts.
I'm Kristen Caruso.
I'm Brandy Egan.
Let's go to court.
On this episode, I'll talk about olestra.
Anal leakage?
Shh, people don't know.
And I'll be talking about a brutal attack on a young lawyer.
Anal leakage?
How dare you?
All right, team, we've got exciting news. Right now, as you are listening to this, you have an amazing opportunity to join Beachbody today.
Oh,
no, yes. I'm just kidding. No, you can head over to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/LGTC podcast, and we want you to vote on our next episode topic.
Yes.
Here are your options.
Divorces
or
custody battles.
Which one?
You can only choose one.
I'm sorry.
If you voted for both of them, it would really be pointless.
To vote, all you have to do is be a district court judge, and that's just $2 a month.
That's right.
If you want to hear bonus episodes and all that jazz and join the Discord, that's $5 a month. If you want to just shoot for the moon, that's $7 a month. You can become a Supreme Court judge.
Supreme Court!
And that, as you know, comes with a sticker. It comes with bragging rights.
That's right.
It comes with an induction.
Absolutely.
On this very podcast.
That's correct.
What if you got inducted on?
On a different podcast.
On My Favorite Murder. Sorry, we don't have that kind of power.
We do not have that kind of power.
You want to talk about a brutal attack? I guess so. Damn. My case is going to lighten things up.
Good, because you're going to be talking about leaky buttholes, so...
Wow, spoilers. Spoilers everywhere.
Galore. If you don't see Olestra and know that we're going to be talking about fucking leaky buttholes, have you even lived...
Maybe this is going to help a lot of people out.
Okay, so my case, I will just right off the bat, it is terrible, but it is a story of survival. So,
good, okay.
Oh, thank goodness. And most, I mean, we're talking 94% of this information comes from one source. It's an article for the Houston Press, which I will not tell you the title of at this time. I can tell you at the end, but because it will give something away. But what was I saying?
You were saying it's by Skip Hollandsworth.
No, it's not.
Really?
It's from Houston Press, and it's by Steve McVicker.
I thought there was only one man in Texas who wrote about true crime.
I know,
and
right?
It was Skip.
It's Skip Hollandsworth. No, Steve McVicker, writing for the Houston Press. This is a great article. This story also may sound familiar to you if you are a fan of the show I Survived, because her story was featured on that show.
Okay. I love survival stories.
Yes.
Oh, I know this one. Oh, it's a good one.
You do know this one?
I mean, should I say something and we'll cut it?
Yeah.
She's the one who was like... Yeah. I love this story!
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Yeah, cut all that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, what a spoiler that would be.
Yeah. Don't even listen to Brandy's.
The night of April 14th, 1995, started like any other for, that's definitely not her name. Jennifer, it says Jennifer Money in my notes. It's definitely Jennifer Maury.
Oh, boy.
I believe that was an autocorrect.
Okay.
She was a young lawyer in Houston, Texas. That particular night, it was a Friday night. She'd gone out with some friends to the Ale House, which I did some looking into this. It seems like a really cool place. It was like this house that was originally a house like in Houston. And then during the Prohibition, it was turned into a speakeasy. And then it like got shut down for a long time, kind of sat empty. And then they turned it into this Ale House. It was reportedly haunted. And sadly, it's no longer around. And it is now a parking lot. So,
Wah-wah. I thought you said that would be a cool story.
Well, I thought it was cool because it was like this haunted
parking lot.
No, Shannon,
wow.
It was like this haunted bar.
Let's go park there.
You stop it. And no, this article I found on it was like, what happens to spirits when their home becomes a parking lot? And that was the title, and that's all I read. I don't know what happened.
They hop in the Range Rover and go home with you.
So anyway, so she spends the night out at this cool bar, has a couple drinks, nothing crazy. She doesn't like, get tore up from the floor up or anything like that. Kristen, why does your face look like that?
I've never heard tore up from the floor up.
You've never heard tore up from the floor up?
No, I am terribly sorry.
What? It's, they use it in a movie when a guy is trying to sound cool. Norm, back me up on this. What's that from?
Tore up from the floor up?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound familiar to me.
Exactly.
It's from a movie.
Brandy made it up.
Now I have to look into this.
Oh, God.
It's a song.
Yeah, I know, but they Wade reference Hayden it Pace. In a movie. Oh. It's from Juno.
Oh.
Her dad is talking about, like, her life decisions and stuff like that. Yeah. I knew it was, like, a dad talking to someone, but I couldn't place it. Anyway, that's so not important. Anyway. So she goes out with friends. She has a friend take her home to her apartment somewhere around midnight. And so her friend takes her to her apartment located at...
Oh, hold up. Okay.
4400 Memorial Drive, Houston, Texas, 77007.
Okay.
Is the zip code. Mm-hmm. So these are the Bayou Park apartments. If you want, like, you can actually search Bayou Park apartments and get a better view of the actual apartment complex.
I do want to do that. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. They look like, you know, just kind of standard.
Yeah, standard. So there was a reason that Jennifer had picked this apartment complex. It had 24-hour-a-day security.
Mm-hmm.
She was a young woman. She was like 25. She was doing really well for herself out on her own. It was like her first job since law school. But she lived alone and she was smart and knew that there were risks in that. And so she had specifically picked this apartment complex because they had 24-hour-a-day on-site security. And it was provided by this security company that she'd heard of before, Pinkerton Security.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a name that you've probably heard of.
Yep.
It is actually related to the Pinkerton Detective Agency. Yes, it's actually like over the years, that's what they have become. They've become a security
company. Okay. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
All right.
So Pinkerton Detective Agency has been around since like the 1800s. Uh-huh. And this is kind of like the bastardized version that it has become today. They now deliver.
Do they advertise themselves as the bastardized version?
Don't think so. I do not believe so. But it was a name she recognized and she was like, this is great. I'm going to be safe.
Yes.
Wonderful. She goes to bed that night. Everything's great until about 4:00 in the morning. Jennifer wakes up to intense pressure on her chest.
Oh, God.
She kind of wakes herself up out of her, you know, dream state, whatever. And there is a man on top of her. And he is attempting to rape her.
Oh, my God.
He's holding her down. She's fighting him. She's kicking. She's doing whatever. She tries to move away from him. She's screaming. She realizes he has a knife to her throat.
Ugh.
As she tries to push him off, he slices her throat open.
Oh, God.
Like from one ear all the way across her neck to like the center of her neck. She's still fighting through all of this. Blood is gushing out of her.
Ugh.
There is blood everywhere, all over her, all over the attacker, all over her bed. The wound was described as looking like a second mouth.
Oh,
that's how like gaping.
That is disgusting.
Yeah. And then for a second, Jennifer thought, what am I doing? What is the point of this? I am going to die. And the fight just like went out of her.
Ugh.
She's laid there. And the man who was attacking her grabbed her by her hair and dragged her into her bathroom, like slid her across the floor of her bathroom, slammed the door, and like locked her in there. There was no actual lock on this bathroom door,
mm-hmm.
but he like closed the door and most likely just assumed she would just bleed out in there and die.
And this is after he had raped her or? Okay, unclear.
Gotcha. Unclear, I believe. It doesn't go into specifics, but yes, I believe that he had, like, she woke up in the act of him raping her.
Okay.
Yes. So she's in this bathroom and she decides, I am not going to die in this bathroom. And she like gets herself together. She pushes her body against this door of this bathroom and puts her feet up on the bathtub to create like a wedge so that if this man tries to come into her bathroom, he won't be able to get the door open. She will be a physical wedge keeping this door closed because it doesn't lock. Which, who's ever heard of a bathroom door that doesn't lock?
I don't know.
That's a terrible design flaw.
Sure, sure.
Our old house, the bathroom door didn't lock.
Yeah, and it was a terrible design flaw. Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. It did lock, but you needed a skeleton key to lock
it. It's a terrible design flaw.
It's an old house.
Okay.
These are new apartments, though.
Yeah.
If they're new apartments, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's in the bathroom. She's assessing her situation. She's got her neck just gushing blood. She grabs a towel and she's like holding a towel to it.
Yeah.
And she's listening. The apartment is silent. It's quite the contrast from what the scene just was, where she's fighting and screaming and yelling and whatever. All of a sudden, it's just completely silent, completely dark.
See, this part of any of these stories is so terrifying to me because I don't know what could be worse than you think it's over, you open the door,
right,
and he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like Golden State Killer shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He would stick around.
Yes, until you thought he was gone. Oh.
I know. Ugh, Worst person ever. I know.
I cannot handle the Golden State Killer. It terrifies me.
Did you read
Yes, I read. Yes. And I was terrified the entire time. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and you know you'd have like a shadow in the corner of your room.
You'd be like, well, he's here.
He could be standing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and his stupid micro penis.
Yes. Ugh. Anyway.
Don't worry. He's caught, guys.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Oh. So she listens and she listens and she listens. She hears him zip his pants up.
No.
Yes. She hears him walk across the apartment and leave.
Oh.
And she decides at that moment that she can sit there and die, or she can try to get help. And so she gets herself up. She goes to open the bathroom door, and it's jammed. She has pressed herself against it so hard that she's physically jammed the door closed.
You're kidding.
And her hands are so covered in her own blood that she can't grip the doorknob to try and get like a good pull on it.
No.
Yeah. So she talks about how at that moment she literally laughed at the state of affairs. Like, holy shit, I am going to die in my bathroom right now because I can't get the fucking door open.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was she, I mean, I imagine she lost so much blood. Was she able to stand?
I believe that she was able to stand or at least get to her knees.
Okay.
So she does eventually get the door open. I believe that she says something about getting a towel using that. And she gets the door open. She like crawls out of the bathroom and finds her cell phone. Mm-hmm. So it's 1995. So the fact that she even had a cell phone.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Amazing, yes. And she gets herself back in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And she calls 911.
Why does she go back into the bathroom?
I think because she felt
safer there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was enclosed. And, you know, she could see everything there, I'm guessing.
Okay.
She calls 911, and this guy, I'm trying to find his name now. Sorry, I'm not anywhere near in my notes anywhere.
This is what I deal with, people.
I know. I'm so sorry. She calls 911, and the dispatcher who answers the phone, his name is Richard Everett. It's his first fucking day on the job.
Oh, no. Oh, Richard.
Yes. Oh. And he's like, okay, bear with me. You are going to get through this. Listen to what I'm saying. We will get through this together. And he stays super calm.
Uh-huh.
And he helps her. He's like, I've got police, I've got paramedics on the way to you. Talk to me. She describes her wound to him. He tells her to put more pressure on it, get a new towel on it, keep it, you know, closed, keep her hands on it. And he's just like talking to her, trying to keep her calm, letting her know. He's like following the emergency crews, like on their way to her and like updating her. They'll be there, you know, in this many minutes. They'll be there in this many minutes. And then there's a knock at her door. And she tells the dispatcher, she's like, someone's here, someone's here. And he's like, I don't know. The emergency crews are definitely not there yet. I'm not sure who that could be. And so she goes to the door. She does not answer the door, but she's like, who is it? And the guy identifies himself as Brian Gibson. He says he's the security officer on duty that night. And that he's aware that something has happened and that she needs to let him into the apartment. And so she's like thinking about it and she's talking to the dispatcher, Richard. And he's like, I don't know. I don't think you should open the door. I think you should go back to the bathroom. Wait for emergency crews to be there. Police will be there within a couple of minutes. Don't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, yeah. And so she doesn't. And the guy, the security officer's like, let me in. Let me help you. I'm here to help you. And she's like, no, I'm not going to answer the door. I'm sorry. I'm not going to answer the door. And so she goes back and she's on the phone with the dispatcher. Emergency crews get to her. I already told you at the beginning, she survives this.
Yes.
But emergency crews are met with the security officer when they arrive at Jennifer's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he is... Go ahead. What?
How did he know that something had gone on?
Well, you're about to find out.
Okay.
So he is in a state.
Sure.
When the police get there. He is injured. He's bloody.
Hmm.
He's missing part of his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, guys, I'm on duty tonight. I'm the security agent on duty. I saw a man jump off of her balcony and run through the field. I took off after him. We got in a scuffle. I tried to catch him. I couldn't get him. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I couldn't get him. And police are like, okay. And they're just trying to like assess the situation.
Sure, sure.
They've got a woman that they know is like bleeding to death in the bathroom.
Right.
So they get into her. They get her, you know, medical attention, whatever. And then they start kind of looking at the scene and looking at this security guy, Brian.
Uh-huh.
And he walks him through his story again. The man left out of like the she has like a balcony. Jennifer had a balcony or like a porch, and he jumped over the balcony or the porch wall or whatever. And that's when the security agent saw him, noticed that he had a lot of blood on him, was going to track him down through this field. So the police look at this field that this guy has supposedly just run through, and there's fresh dew all over the top of it. It has not been disrupted in any way.
Yeah.
And then they're processing the scene at Jennifer's apartment. And you know what they found inside her apartment?
Part of this dude's uniform?
The missing part of his uniform. His Pinkerton security hat was located inside Jennifer's apartment, as well as a pair of men's underwear. And would you believe it, when they asked him if he had his underwear on, he was sure missing them. And I actually think this is sort of funny, but they make kind of a big deal about this in this article, that when they searched him and found that he didn't have his underwear on, he had also shaved all of his pubic hair in an effort to leave behind no DNA. I was like, maybe the guy just liked to shave his balls.
Okay,
like,
but this is 1995.
Exactly.
Yes, this is... People weren't manscaping back then. People weren't trimming it up.
So they thought that he intentioned, like, this was a planned out thing. He shaved his pubic hair so as to leave behind no pubic hair evidence at the scene. Yeah, I mean, he likely did.
At that time, I'm sure.
Yes.
But if they were to find someone today, it'd be like, they'd be like, well, that's just,
it's
a dude.
Just a dude who
and
likes
it's Tuesday.
To shave his balls.
Yeah, this story is insane. So I called him dumb. He wasn't dumb, because he was coming back to...
Oh, he was likely coming back
to
get his uniform and finish her off. Yeah.
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 So he was trying like hell
to get
all
back into that apartment so that he could, get the evidence and make sure she couldn't ever identify him, make sure she could never say what had happened to her. Absolutely.
I am so amazed that she, that the dispatcher was like, no, don't answer the door, and that she had, I mean, she must have been getting alarm bells in her head about this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because under just a normal circumstance, I would think that you would go to the door and be like, yeah, go ahead and help me. Yeah, I mean, my throat is slit.
So she definitely credits the dispatcher, Richard, with helping save her life.
Yes.
Like, she, to help her think clearly and think through that in the moment. And they are friends to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came to her wedding when she got married. Yeah, like, they have remained in contact. So, unfortunately, there's not a ton of court stuff available on this, but what we do know is that Brian Gibson was the security officer. He was arrested, and he ended up being charged with attempted murder, and he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, which Jennifer was very unhappy with. She didn't think that was enough time, which I agree. Like, I don't think that's very much time, but he's out.
Oh, I guess he would be.
Yeah, he's out. He is living in, I believe it's Magnolia, Texas. He has to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that'll...
How long do you think he should have gotten?
I don't know. I think it should be true. It's the same thing. He was charged with attempted murder, which didn't carry, you know, as heavy as of a sentence as murder. But I think he had every intention of murdering her. And I think that he also... there should be extenuating circumstances for the fact that he... was in a position, he used his position as a security officer.
Yes.
I think that's a mitigating circumstance. I also think that the fact that there was a sexual assault in there, which he does have to register as a sex offender, but I just don't think 20 years is enough.
Okay.
This had a profound effect on Jennifer's life.
Sure.
She completely withdrew from her entire life. She went and lived with her parents. She couldn't get out of bed. She was scared of everything, severely depressed, and just couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a completely reasonable response.
Yes.
Yeah. In addition to having to heal from her physical injuries.
Yeah.
He missed her carotid artery by like 1 millimeter.
Oh, God.
And her voice box by like another millimeter.
Mm.
So there was a serious risk that she would, if he would have hit her carotid artery, she would have died immediately.
Yeah.
If he would have hit her voice box, she wouldn't have been able to call for help.
Oh, my God.
Think about how differently that would have gone.
She would have had to leave her apartment.
Uh-huh. Where her attacker was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Yeah. So she's, like, going through all of the things that I can't even imagine going through after an attack like this. And her brother comes to her one day, and he's like, you got to pull your shit together. Our parents can't afford to support you. You've got a car payment you have to make. You're going to have to get it together. And it was like what she needed to hear, she said. Like, it was. So she decided that she was going to, you know, pull it together. And she was going to get her life back together, life on track. And so she actually consulted with a lawyer about what her options were for a civil case. How did this happen? How did someone like this get in the position that he was in? And so a lawyer looked it over, and he thought 100% they had grounds for a civil case against Pinkerton.
Okay. What was in this guy's background?
So turns out that the Pinkerton security agency was well known and had a lot of, clout because of their name.
Okay.
But they were kind of like the discount agency.
Oh.
And they maintained their low prices by hiring low-cost employees. So at the time of this attack, Brian had worked for the company for a couple of years, and he was making like a dollar over minimum wage per hour.
Oh, God.
Minimum requirements were that he had a clean background when they run a background check, and that he had a high school diploma. But he lied on his application and said, yeah, if you run my background, it'll be clear.
Wait, so they never actually checked his background?
No, they never did a full background check. Not that a ton of stuff would have come back on him, but there were other instances where they hired with Pinkerton where other guards were accused in murders and attacks on women. And
oh
so,
my God.
Yeah.
No, you have to do the background check, especially in that line of work. Who cares if they have a high school diploma?
Yeah.
But the background check, that has to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, when Jennifer and her lawyer started looking into Pinkerton's background, they found that in 1995, a guard who worked for Pinkerton was charged in a murder and had... It was related to his position, wherever his assignment was, and received like a 30-year sentence for murder. Brian had actually had complaints from other
residents?
At different job assignments. This was his third reassignment because of complaints from customers
about
his behavior.
What are they, the Catholic Church? They just
move
them around?
Shuffle people around.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what were the complaints?
That's the most frustrating thing about this, because it happened in 1995. There's like no information available on it.
Gotcha.
There were complaints and he was reassigned. This was his third job assignment. And it was like, well, if you fuck up at this one, you might not have a job anymore.
Might have to transfer you again.
Yeah, that's right.
Buddy.
Yeah. So they took Pinkerton to court.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But Pinkerton settled for an undisclosed amount.
You hate settlements
so
much.
I hate it so much. But it was probably good for Jennifer. She got a sum of money and was able to not... She didn't have to go through the whole court procedures of saying everything that had happened to her and all of that.
Let's assume she got $5 million.
I hope. Well, she got enough money.
Okay.
She was able to start her own law practice.
Cool.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So after all of this, she started her own law practice. She's doing well. She's married. And she is still friends with her dispatcher that helped save her life.
That is awesome.
Yeah. As far as Pinkerton, according to this article, which is dated, this case made no impact on their hiring process.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. But good for Jennifer.
Yeah.
And thank God for that, for Richard, for being in that. I mean, his very first day, and that's the call
he
gets.
Can you imagine?
Yes. I cannot.
I cannot imagine. And I'd handle it great also. Thank you for asking. Oh, my God. Survival stories, I always start with my hands up by my neck. Can't handle it, but ugh.
Yeah. In that, when they were doing the records dig for Pinkerton and their hiring process, at that time, they had 130 employees, and they had like 4,000 employees total, but they had 130 employees that held felony convictions.
You're kidding me.
No. And at the very least, they were supposed to pass a background check to be able to get a guard position.
So they had the honor system.
Basically, yeah. Background checks can be expensive to run.
Sure.
But when you're putting in somebody in that position, you have to run them.
Yeah, they're not optional. And you have to know that a lot of really creepy people gravitate toward those positions because they like the power.
Yes. Yeah.
Dennis Rader.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I bet he would have really liked working for Pinkerton.
I mean, he was a freaking dog catcher, but oh, God.
Yeah.
Gross.
That's the story of Jennifer Morey. She's actually Jennifer Caldwell now.
Good for Jennifer Caldwell.
Yes.
We're happy for you.
We're so happy for you.
Okay. Whew. Are you ready
to talk about anal leakage?
Brandy. No.
I'm sorry. I see Alestra and I automatically think of anal leakage.
No, you don't.
And this isn't a spoiler. We have talked about this on an episode before.
Have we?
Yeah, very early. Like maybe our third episode. We mentioned it.
Don't go back and listen,
no,
folks.
They're really not good, folks.
Have you tried to listen?
No.
I tried to listen to our first episode a while ago, and I got 3 seconds in. I couldn't. What were we thinking? The TV tray with one microphone?
With one mic was going to get it done.
Anyway, here we are.
Okay.
Most of this information comes from the Center for Science in the Public Interest.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Brandy, it was nice.
We've definitely used that source for something before. I think it was when I did my made-up case.
I think it probably was. The Taco Bell case.
That's where I got all the information about the parasite.
Yeah. No, they do great work. They're a great nonprofit. It was 1996. When the FDA approved one of the greatest inventions known to man. It was called Olestra. Mm-hmm. And contrary to what Brandy has told you, it was amazing.
It really did seem amazing when it came out.
Yeah, hell yeah, it did. Get this. Olestra worked as a fat substitute. And this was in the 90s when we were all terrified of fat. Now fat is good. Carbs are... Yeah. I don't know. It's so confusing.
It is.
Just, you know, don't eat carbs. Do eat carbs. Yeah. Don't eat fat. Do eat fat.
Don't eat sugar.
But eat fruit sugar.
Yeah.
Why are you confused?
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, scientists could add it to food. And guess what? It wouldn't add any extra fat or calories. In short, it was the best thing ever. Olestra, I did not know this, was invented by scientists at Procter & Gamble.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So they were trying to create this supplement that would help premature babies gain weight.
Oh.
But Olestra didn't do that.
Yeah.
So they had this thing that obviously people wanted, but they weren't really the ones who wanted to do anything with it. So that's when the good people at Frito-Lay stepped in.
Oh, yeah.
They were very intrigued by this invention. They were like, hey, Procter & Gamble, could we work out a deal here? Because you know what America would love? A brand new fat-free potato chip!
Yes!
And ultimately, they gave us those fat-free potato chips.
They were delicious, too.
Were they?
Yes! You don't remember? You never ate them?
No, I did. I did.
Okay, the Pringles tasted like legit Pringles.
Yeah, let's get to our experiences with them.
Okay.
Frito-Lay called them Wow Potato Chips. Mm-hmm. And do you remember this? They had the logo where an exclamation point was built into the last W because they didn't have the time to add in that. It was like there was a little dot under that last line of the W.
Yeah.
So in 1997, Frito-Lay put out these magical, life-changing potato chips into test markets. Mm-hmm. They had Lay's, wow. Ruffles, wow. Doritos, wow. Tostitos, wow. And people were like, wow, this is great. I love chips, and now I can eat them without any guilt at all. Indiana was one of the test markets for the chips.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the Hoosiers loved these chips. But there was just one
minor problem.
Tiny. I mean, if you're really picky, maybe you'd be annoyed by this. You see, the chips, they did cause a little bit of the anal leakage.
Oh! Yeah, minor problem.
Who cares, really? Also, abdominal cramping, real bad diarrhea. Worth it. So, not everyone who ate the Wow chips experienced these symptoms. But a lot of people took the stance that, hey, if there's even a chance that I'm going to get anal leakage, I'm not going to eat them. Okay. Let's pause here.
Yes.
Do we all remember Wow potato chips?
Yeah. Ate them.
Yeah. Okay.
Never experienced anal leakage.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Norm?
Never had them.
You were not allowed to have
them. My mom refused to buy them.
Oh. Because of the anal leakage?
She was always skeptical of foods that have been like chemically altered.
Oh yeah, and these were chemically altered. I mean, to the max.
Yeah,
yeah. Because Doritos are already pretty weird.
Yeah,
and now this they're is
yeah
cooked
yeah
up in a lab. So public health advocates. Oh, I had another question for you guys.
Yeah. Okay, here, one thing okay I want to say. I was under the impression that you had to, like, eat an entire bag of them to experience the anal leakage. So if you, like, if you, you know, went by the serving size of, I don't know.
Has anyone ever done
seven
that?
Seven chips. Uh-huh. You were in the clear.
Turns out that's not necessarily true.
Excellent.
Yeah. But my question is, for you guys, do you remember when they first came out? Did they have warnings on them?
No, I don't believe so.
See, I saw
the warning came later.
Yeah, I saw conflicting stuff on this, but my memory was that the warning came later.
My memory is completely that the warning came later.
The warning came later, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Public health advocates.
Nobody would buy a bag ever if they came out with a warning immediately that said, your butthole's going to leak.
Well, my theory was that, first of all, it didn't say your butthole's going to be leaking. It probably said made with Olestra.
Yeah.
And it was probably on the back.
Yeah.
And
then in real tiny writing, it says product may cause anal leakage.
Loose stools or something.
I remember the term anal leakage.
Oh, we
on
all
the
do
package.
We all do. But I don't. Well, okay, let's get
okay
it. Let's
okay
get it.
All right. Can we get an anal leakage count on this episode?
Is that the homework for the listeners?
Yeah,
the
homework.
How many times was anal leakage?
Public health advocates were like, you can't do this to people. You can't sell them a product knowing it could cause anal leakage. Meanwhile, most of the people of Indiana weren't aware of the risks of Olestra, so they gobbled up the chips, and a few hours later, the sewer system of Indiana exploded.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I was horrified!
Do you want me to read the label on the chips?
Sure.
So it did say, this product contains Olestra. Olestra may cause abdominal cramping and loose stools.
Mm-hmm.
Olestra inhibits the absorption of some vitamins and other nutrients.
Okay.
No anal leakage. Huh?
Did not actually say anal
leakage.
Where
the hell am I coming up with that term? I didn't come up with that on my own.
Maybe you did.
It's
you
an
creep. No, don't
didn't
worry. We're getting to it.
Okay. All right.
We'll get to the anal leakage.
All
just
right.
Slow
we're,
down.
Just, we're just so excited.
I'm so excited for the anal leakage.
This was no surprise to people who knew Olestra well. When the FDA approved Olestra in 1996, the FDA's commissioner said, like, straight out, hey, Olestra can cause abdominal cramping and it can cause loose stools. And it inhibits your body's absorption of certain vitamins and nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, average everyday people didn't know that about this random
yeah
chemical. They just thought they were eating miracle chips.
Yeah.
And about an hour later, they thought their insides were on fire. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was pissed. They were like, we can't believe the FDA approved Olestra. And we can't believe that Frito-Lay is selling this crap to people and making people crap all over the place. So they decided to do something about it. In the spring of 1997, they ran this quarter-page ad in the Indianapolis Star. And it basically said, hey, if you ate the WOW potato chips and you subsequently blew up a toilet, give us a call at 1-888-OLESTRA. On the day that ad ran, they received almost 200 calls.
Wow.
Yes. They got call after call after call and started compiling all these stories. And they were like, you know what? That's it. It's time for a press conference. Cecilia Bowman, the president of Hoosier Organic Marketing Education, was there. She told the media, shame on Frito-Lay and Procter & Gamble for using Hoosiers as guinea pigs for their products. The FDA should yank Olestra from the market. If WOW chips and other foods made with it were ever marketed nationally, millions of consumers could get sick. Frito-Lay's reputation might literally be going down the toilet in Indiana.
Hmm.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if those were marketed nationally.
Yeah.
Who knows what could happen? Good thing they had this press conference to stop everything.
That didn't happen. They went national.
The executive director of the CSPI also spoke. He said, "The flood of calls we have received represents the tip of the iceberg. In just the 2 weeks on the market, WoW chips have probably sickened thousands of people. People have missed work or school, called their doctor, or didn't get to the bathroom in time."
Oh, they shit themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Norm, would you mind bringing me my water bottle over there?
Oh.
Please.
What a man.
What a mighty good man. Yes, he is. Yes, my man says he loves me. Never says he loves me not. I won't sing anymore because then it gets really dirty.
What happens after that?
He rubs me good and touch me in the right spot.
Oh.
Then a bunch of Olestra victims spoke at the press conference.
Mm.
Okay, this one kills me.
Oh my God, I would never, if I had shit my pants, I would, or experienced anal leakage, I would never go to a press conference and be like, I was infected by these horrible chips.
Yes, it's me. I, soiled a pair of underwear. Yeah, Kristen Caruso, yes. Kansas City, Missouri. What else do you want to know? So there was Dana Loughlin, a mother of four from Plainfield, Indiana. She told the world that her 12-year-old son had had diarrhea for 7 days.
Oh, my God.
Plus terrible gas.
Oh.
After eating 5 ounces of nacho cheese WoW Doritos.
Wow.
She said that, I mean, this poor kid's 12 years old and his mom's up there
just blasting his business.
She said that he had an accident in bed at 4 a.m.
He literally shit the bed.
He shit the bed and his mom told everybody.
His mom told national television? Was this televised?
I don't know that it was televised.
Well, thank goodness, but I bet people he knew were there.
Well, I mean, my guess is if you hold a press conference about people sharting, I would imagine the news shows up. Like,
how dare you say that while I had a drink in my mouth?
So, yeah, she said he had an accident in bed at 4 a.m. and he missed 2 days of school. So then all his little friends knew why he'd been gone.
Oh, my gosh, this poor kid.
7 days of diarrhea, over 5 ounces. A nacho cheese Doritos.
Ooh.
Pat McGee. Was,
what?
I don't know how to pronounce this. It's M-C-G-H-E-H-E-Y. McGehee?
Spell it again.
M-C-G-H-E-H-E-Y.
Okay. Nope. What? That's not it.
What the fuck was that?
That was horrifying.
No, okay. That's like a robot.
Okay, yeah. No. Norm, stop it. That's creepy, and we don't need...
Don't you want to know?
No.
No!
I think it's McGehee.
Okay.
Actually, there's a guy on Jackass with his last name.
Speaking of Jackass...
What?
Have you heard about Bam Margera?
What?
He reached out to Dr. Phil for help. He's like a drug addict and needs... Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it surprises me that he reached out to Dr. Phil.
Yeah. I watched just like, I don't know, a clip of it today.
And so don't lie, Brandy. We know you watched the whole thing.
I wish I would have watched way more if I had the time. I only got to watch like a 5-minute clip because that's all the time that I
had. Does this podcast cut into your Dr. Phil watching?
My Dr. Phil time. Yeah, it says that he became super depressed because as a skateboarder, he's supposed to be super skinny. And As he's gotten older, he's just gained a bunch of weight. And so he started experimenting with drugs in order to try and lose weight, like he did meth.
Really?
Yeah. And he did Adderall a bunch. He abused Adderall. He has an actual prescription for Adderall.
Right.
But he didn't really like meth that much. He used coke a ton. He hates pot, doesn't like hallucinogenics and stuff like that. But he's got a major problem with drugs and alcohol, and he doesn't really know what to do. And he hates taking his prescriptions because he feels like all of these doctors tell him to take all of these conflicting things, and he doesn't feel any different, and he doesn't feel like himself. That's as far as I got.
I would have never guessed that this was weight-related. I mean, when you said one of the guys from Jackass had trouble with drugs, I was like, well, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, I think he's got severe depression, too.
Because
when Ryan Dunn died, he got really messed up.
He said on this clip that his depression was brought on by his weight gain. Wow. Like, that was the tipping point for him.
Mm. I didn't know skateboarders were supposed to be skinny.
Yeah, to do the tricks, you have to be a little dude.
Look at Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, now that I think about it. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a
gravity does not work in your favor if you have you ever. OK, do you know the skateboarder Rob Dyrdek?
No.
OK, well, he had a show on MTV, Robin Big, where it was like a reality show that followed him and his bodyguard.
Uh-huh.
Big Black. This dude is huge, giant black man, weighed like 450 pounds.
I gathered that from the name.
Yeah, that was his name. He had a whole brand, these cool shirts that had like two B's on them. Anyway, Rob constantly wanted to get him on a skateboard, and he was terrified to do it.
Yeah.
And so finally, he like wraps him in like bubble wrap or something and gets him on a skateboard and gets him to go off like the tiniest little ramp. And he just, physics just do not work for someone large like that. Dude just smack hit the ground.
But he had the bubble wrap.
Skateboard took off running.
Rest in peace to Big.
Yes. Yeah, he died. Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Man.
That was a good show. Yeah. I liked Robin Big.
Yeah, loved it.
What the hell?
It was so good.
Where was I?
Kind of hilarious. Let me tell you about my best friend.
That was the theme song. You were like nose deep in a book or something.
You're probably watching Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Oh, is there Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders?
You guys are way off topic right now.
There's lawsuit news about them. One of the cheerleaders. Okay, you know what? Maybe I'll save it for a future episode and you guys can suck it and have to listen to me talk at length about the cheerleaders. But it was more of a settlement. It didn't go to trial. So it'd be, you know, a little lame. But yeah, still.
Mine was super light on the court stuff today, so I'll allow it.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. All right. So Pat McGeehee, whatever, was a pet groomer from Indianapolis. She ate half of a family-sized bag of Lay's original Wow chips. Mm-hmm. And while she was at work, she experienced horrible smelling gas.
Oh, no.
Bloating. Yellow-orange stains. Okay.
Where were the stains?
Okay.
Were they on her nacho cheese fingers, or was they coming from her butthole?
Don't you fucking wish. I read somewhere that, like, people experience, like, they'd look in the toilet and there would be, like, orange oil.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean, oh, yeah? Did you experience this,
no.
too?
No, but it reminds me of this diet pill that was out a few years ago.
Oh,
so it was this diet pill that was approved by the FDA. That was the big thing. Like, first diet pill approved by the FDA.
Uh-huh.
It really works. And it isolated the fat in your food. So you would, like, I did not use it. My client told me about it. You would, you'd eat, and it would separate out the fat molecules.
Oh, God.
And then that way your body didn't absorb it. But then when you went to the bathroom, it was like,
what?
Just like oil just like came out your butthole and then just like laid across the surface of the water because it doesn't.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was FDA approved, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that that's not such a rigorous process. That is disgusting.
Yeah, this client was a little bit odd. I don't know why I'm being so nice. I did her hair one time, she told me all of this. And she was like, I started testing its limits.
What?
She's like, I would eat potato chips dipped in butter to see what would happen.
No, ew. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She also had greasy stools, which how do you know that it's greasy?
I think like that. You get a film on the water.
Film on the water.
Bum, bum, bum.
Streak in your undies.
Olestra works. I look great in a bikini.
I think that was their failed theme song.
Oh no, I should.
So these symptoms started at work. They lasted till 2 a.m.
Oh no. Was she wearing white pants? I don't understand how somebody, did people see her orange butt stains?
Well, I'm hoping that they just went into a toilet bowl near
you. Well, those wouldn't be stains, Kristen.
You know what? You're right. They wouldn't be stains.
Those would not be
stains. I am ignoring what I have here and trying to make it better. But no, a stain, you're right. That's in the undies, best case scenario. Worst case scenario, breakthrough leakage. Yeah.
Breakthrough leakage.
Oh, God. The CSPI said their goal was simple. They wanted the FDA to revoke its approval of Olestra. Or at the very least, they wanted the chips to have a very prominent, strongly worded label. They wanted the warning label to read, Olestra may cause abdominal cramping and loose stools. But the FDA didn't revoke its approval of Olestra.
No, they were like, let's get this thing nationwide!
Yeah!
Let's make everybody shit their pants!
And in 1998, Wow chips were sold all over the nation. Because, hey, they didn't give everyone anal leakage.
Oh, my goodness.
In the first year on the market, Frito-Lay sold $400 million worth of Wow chips.
I have no doubt.
I don't either. I mean, for those of us who lived through the anal leakage of 1998, I mean, everyone bought these chips because what could be better?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can, it's delicious. They taste roughly the same.
Yeah.
And
hey, if my butthole leaks a little bit, then
so be it.
So be it. C'est la vie.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
So I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It's unclear to me whether the Wow chips that first hit the market had prominent warning labels. It is possible that they did, because when the FDA first approved Olestra, they said that they wanted all products that had Olestra to be labeled as such.
Yeah.
But again, who knows how prominent the labels were? Who knows exactly what they said? At some point, though, Wow chips were properly labeled as poop blasters. By the way, I watched a commercial yesterday for Wow potato chips.
Was it as good as the corn nuts one that I played you the other day?
Okay, that was horrifying. But this one was also horrifying. It was a dad and his son floating in a river on little inner tubes.
I mean,
eating.
If they had anal leakage, then
that's exactly what I was thinking.
It's just fine.
When you think of it in the context of anal leakage, you're like, oh, that dad's butt is dipped right into the river.
Just leak
no one's going to see those orange stains.
That's right. Keep on leaking.
This is an oily river we're in, son. But I look great. Olestra quickly became a joke. Comedians made fun of it. People talked shit about it. See what I did? And sales dropped big time. By 2000, just 2 years after Wow chips hit the market, sales were just half of what they'd been in 1998.
Yes, because people were like, holy shit, this made me shit my pants.
Yes, eventually Wow chips, what are you doing?
I gotta see if I'm making up this. I swear.
They never said anal
leakage.
They
did.
No,
they
didn't.
Where did I come up with that phrase? I didn't make up that phrase.
No, it became known in news articles as something that could happen. And of course, people latched onto that phrasing.
No, it was in parentheses.
I mean, it's another name for loose stool, anal leakage.
I don't think it ever said anal leakage on the labels. She's steaming. She's steaming mad, folks.
I'm going to need to look further into this. Where's that term coming from?
That's coming from the CSPI.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one of the things they said about Alestra.
No, I get that part.
Do you?
Yes. I've slumped down in my chair because I need to find out if it was called, if it said anal leakage on the package.
She's in full-on research mode, folks. It's not satisfying enough to know that they cause anal leakage.
No, I want the bag to say it caused anal leakage.
It never did. It never said that it caused anal leakage. It said abdominal cramping and loose stools.
Fine.
Why is your pride all wrapped up in anal leakage?
I don't know. I just have a very clear memory of it saying that on the bag.
Okay.
It's the Mandela effect.
It is.
What's the Mandela effect?
It is when you have a memory of something that isn't actually real.
Yeah.
Is it tied to Nelson Mandela?
It is, because everyone thought he died in prison.
Oh, mm-hmm. No.
So that's why it's called the Mandela effect.
Oh.
Because everyone's like, I swore he died in prison in South Africa. Kristen, do you think there was a movie in the 90s called Shazam starring Sinbad?
No. Yes, I do.
It starred Shaquille O'Neal, didn't it? Yeah.
There is no movie in the 90s called Shazam starring Sinbad.
Wow.
But everyone thinks there was.
Yeah. Wow.
There was a movie called Kazam with Shaq.
Yes.
Oh, well, okay.
No, very different.
Yeah, you're right. Damn it all to hell. This is my anal leakage.
I am fascinated by the Mandela effect. If you'd like to talk more, please join me in the Discord.
That's just $5 a month to talk to Norman about the Mandela effect. A bargain at any price, I say. Eventually, Wow Chips quietly farted themselves into oblivion.
I'm so sorry to have hijacked your episode with my focus on anal leakage.
Are you going to keep looking at your screen or are you going to...
Nope, I'm closing it right now. I'm very sorry. I'm very upset right now.
I can tell you're so passionate about this.
I swear it existed, but it clearly didn't.
No.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, no. Okay. You know what I need to do?
What?
Next time you're over, I need to get a bag of chips and Sharpie on there. Anal leakage.
I'm not Donald Trump, Kristen.
No, it would make me Donald because I'm the one with the Sharpie.
You're Sharpieing it on there.
And you're the American people not buying it for a bit. So, you know, Wow Chips went bye-bye.
Yeah.
Which may sadden you tremendously because you're probably thinking, well, I'm a risk taker. I don't mind a little loose stool now and again. I'll eat those shit chips as long as I'm cutting calories.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be in luck. Because in 2003, the FDA removed their requirement that all foods made with Olestra come with a warning label.
Why?
Interesting question. And you'll get different answers depending on who you ask. So the FDA says that they removed their warning label because it just wasn't super necessary anymore. Most people knew about Olestra. They knew about the bad effects, but I would argue that we know the bad effects of smoking and that you still have the label. Warning,
yeah.
They also said that the studies on Olestra showed that they only caused a minor increase in bowel movement frequency. So you put... You know, me in a room eating chips, you put you in a room eating the Wow version of the chips, and you're only going to go poop a few more times than me. So what's the big deal?
You know what I would argue needs a warning on it?
What?
Those Fiber One granola bars. Have you ever had those puppies?
Brandy, you know I've had those puppies. And you know what happened to me.
That happened to me too.
Should we share?
Therapy session.
My best poop story I've already told on the podcast. It's the Burger King bathroom episode. Go check it out.
So many tangents, but I have my
go for it.
My client Doreen, who we know and love,
shout out to Doreen.
Had a comment about you bringing stuff into the car.
Okay.
And she said, Norman, it was just wildly just out of line for you to be upset with Kristen about that because you knew when you married her that she had shit in a bag in her car. So
wait, when was I upset?
What Doreen is saying is, how could you be mad that I brought in like a banana?
Oh, because you pooped in a bag.
A bag in a car. So,
Doreen,
so
you have a
glass
point
of
there.
Tea is like really the best case scenario.
Doreen has a point.
She has a very good point. She has a very good point. No, so my story about Fiber One bars.
Yeah.
So Norman used to get Fiber One bars pretty mm-hmm. regularly. And I would eat them on occasion. And I could have sworn to you that they did not affect me at all. Looking back now, what I realize is that I was probably always just near a bathroom. And I just didn't put it all together. Anyway, one time we were flying home from North Carolina to Kansas City to see my parents. And of course, that is a weird ass route. So no one takes it. So it's like you transfer this, blah, 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 blah. Another fun fact about me, I hate to go to the bathroom on an airplane. Think it's disgusting. We'll avoid it at all costs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So on the way to the airport, I had a Fiber One bar. Again, because they don't affect me. We got to the airport. I had a large coffee from Starbucks, which I might as well have had three bags of Wow potato chips because that entire flight, I was miserable. Shit was up to my eyeballs, but I refused to go to the bathroom. And on top of that, I was very, very hungry. So I looked in my bag and all I had was another Fiber One bar.
I ate them regularly, never had problems with them, thought they were the most delicious granola bar on the planet. Mm-hmm. And then one day I had two, like one, and then I didn't have any. I was at the salon and I had been really busy. And so I ate one and then I don't know what led to me eating a second one like a short time later. It was the only food that I had. And so I was like, oh, I'll just eat another one of these real quick and I'll be fine. I think I was supposed to like get off work and I ended up having to stay late or something like that. And so I wasn't going to make it. And so my stomach bloated up like I was 7 months pregnant. Uh-huh. I swear to you. It was so painful. Uh-huh. Just horrific. Thankfully, I was not on an airplane.
I remember you were sweating.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
And I was like, are you okay? And you like didn't want to tell me at first.
Right,
what
because
was going
we were freshly in love and I didn't want to confess to you that
you poop
that yeah. I was about to explode and there would be no blood, there would be no bones, it would just be poop.
This is all I have left of Kristen.
Did I eventually tell you?
Yeah. Okay. When we got off the plane.
Okay.
You were like got to the bathroom real quick.
How sweaty was I?
I thought you were sick.
In a way, I was.
You were nervous about flying.
Okay, so they removed the warning. They're like, fuck this. Everybody's cool. Everybody right. knows that this makes you your butthole
leak. So that's the FDA's story on yes. why they removed it. But the Center for Science and the Public Interest was like, no, you did this because lobbyists got to you.
Yeah.
You didn't drop the labeling requirement because Olestra is no big deal. You've received more than 20,000 complaints about Olestra. That's more complaints than you've received about any other food additive combined.
Wow.
Foods that are made with Olestra need a warning label. Meanwhile, our good friends, the ass blasters over at Frito-Lay, were like, hey, everybody. Hey, hey, hey. We've got a new line of chips. They're our light line of chips. Hey, they're definitely not just the Wow chips with new packaging.
Yeah, they're so different. They're so different, you'll shit your pants.
You should all go out and enjoy them today, preferably near a toilet. Once again, the people at the Center for Science and the Public Interest were so mad. Frito-Lay was at it again. And this time, they didn't even have to warn anybody what they were up to. But what could they do about it? They'd already complained to the press. They'd written strongly worded letters. Well, around this time,
I'm so excited.
The CSPI found out about a 30-year-old woman named Lori Perlow. She was from Braintree, Massachusetts. And about June 15th, 2005, she purchased a bag of Ruffles Light Cheddar Potato Chips. She ate them. She had no idea that they'd been made with Alestra. And she said that if she'd known, she would not have purchased them.
Mm-hmm.
Because after she ate them, she had severe gas, cramps, and an urgent need to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I remember learning about the effects of Alestra, so never in a million years would I have knowingly purchased potato chips that contain it. I was driving my car when the symptoms hit. Frankly, I feel lucky to have reached my destination in one piece.
Wow.
I've never related to anyone more. So she and the CSPI teamed up together, and they looked at each other, and they said, let's go to court! They said that Frito-Lay knowingly and intentionally failed to inform Lori of the side effects of Alestra, and that by changing the name of the Wow Chips to Light, they were being intentionally misleading about whether the Light Chips contained Alestra.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. This was deceptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I completely agree.
Because no one was buying those Wow Chips anymore. But if he says light, I just assume that you've cut back the calories somehow. I don't assume that you've got Alestra in there.
You've got... I don't...
What?
I don't know.
Did you want to say anal leakage again?
I did. I censored myself. I think I've met the max.
What's the max?
I don't know.
15?
I've said it at least 15 times. Probably surpassed that.
If they had disclosed the fact that Alestra was in their light chips, Lori would have never purchased them. CSPI's litigation director, which I didn't know that was a title you could have, but whatever, Steve Gardner said, it's bad enough that Frito-Lay still uses this discredited and dangerous chemical, one of the most infamous food additives in history. But by quietly changing the name of this product line and purposely de-emphasizing the presence of Alestra, Frito-Lay is really tricking consumers, and that deception is putting Americans at risk of some pretty unsettling side effects.
Unsettling is an understatement.
Yes. In January of 2006, they publicly notified Frito-Lay of their intent to sue. And the announcement, of course, made headlines, because we got to talk about anal leakage again, and what could be better.
Right.
But Frito-Lay spoke out. They said that they were complying with all federal laws and regulations. They saw no need to change the way their products were labeled. So everybody back off and buy some more chips.
Chips. Get some more anal leakage.
Yeah.
Come on.
That'll clean you out real good.
Yeah, it's really good for you. It's like a colon cleanse.
Mm-hmm. But in June of that year, Frito-Lay caved.
Mm-hmm.
As part of their settlement agreement, Frito-Lay agreed to prominently display an oval-shaped Olean logo on their light chips. Have you seen this?
I have seen this.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Olean was going to come up, because they like that's the brand name. They like rebranded.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They're like, okay, we won't put Alestra on there, but...
Yeah, Olean is kind of like the little fancy name for Alestra.
Alestra, yeah.
So it says Olean in the little oval logo, along with like... It's not a tagline, but it says underneath it, made with Alestra.
Mm-hmm.
So that little logo goes on the front, and there would also be a mention of Alestra on the back of the package as well. Frito-Lay also agreed to give the Harvard Medical School Division of Nutrition $150,000, which, I mean, Frito-Lay had to find that, like, between the couch cushions.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like nothing. After the settlement was announced, CSPI's executive director said, we're pleased that Frito-Lay agreed to these modest changes, which are sufficient to avoid a lawsuit and will help consumers who know enough to avoid Alestra to do so. That this unsavory chemical was allowed to enter and remain in the food supply at all represents a serious mistake by the Food and Drug Administration.
Wow.
And that is the explosive story of Alestra.
That was excellent.
Thank you. It was kind of light on the court stuff, but I've wanted to cover it for like...
Yeah, since like our third episode.
I really have.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy that this was allowed, that this is still allowed
yes.
in our food.
Yeah. Now, as a surprise, I have brought in a bag of potato chips. No.
Who's got the balls to eat these?
They don't make those anymore.
No, I think
you can.
I've seen the light potato chips in the grocery store.
Yeah, I think the Pringles still exist.
I think Pringles are still around.
Yeah, and they're made with Alestra.
But they have to have that label,
Yeah.
Well, are you ladies ready for some questions?
We are. So, Norman, tell us what you've done here.
Every Wednesday when you guys record, I go into the Discord and I ask your fine supporters if they'd like to ask you guys any questions. And I say the sillier the better, because silly questions are always the more entertaining.
Yes.
So let's answer a few of these, shall we?
Yes, okay. Please. Let's do it.
Okay. Shauna wants to know, if you could change the outcome of any case, what would the case be, and what would you make the final verdict?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like, for me, the answer could change depending on the minute right now. Right now, the thing that is still on my mind is the Tyler Clementi suicide that we talked about. I guess this would be last week. Justice was not served there. So Darun Ravi got 20 days. I mean, he served 20 days in jail, and that was not even close to justice.
Yeah.
So I think I said in the episode that I thought he deserved 5 years. And listening to it back, I was like, no, I think he deserved more for that. I don't know what the right answer was to that.
It's not 20 days.
Yeah, not 20 days. But there are a million cases that I think didn't go right.
Same. Oh, gosh. I don't even know. The first one for me that comes to mind is JonBenet. Because, like, a grand jury voted to indict, and then it never happened. Although I don't think her parents are the ones that did it. Have we discussed our theory on here before? My theory? Have I ever discussed it?
Not on here, I don't. But, I mean, I know your theory. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I 100% believe that her brother killed her and that her parents covered it up so they wouldn't lose both children.
Yeah.
And so, I think somebody should have paid for that. I don't know what the answer is, though.
You guys ready for another question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My question is, this is from Tyler. My question is for Brandy. What is the worst client experience you've ever had as a hairstylist?
Ooh, I love these questions.
Aside from the balloon guy.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was going to say, that guy wasn't a client, but that was terrible.
So it got to be somebody who sat in the chair and got his hair cut.
Oh, gosh. There's been so many weird ones. Okay, so I'm going to give two quick ones. My favorite one, which was also, like, super weird, was I cut this guy's hair. This has been years and years and years ago. He sat down in my chair, and he was, like, drinking a milkshake from Sonic. Like, it was the first time he'd ever tasted a milkshake in his life.
Oh, God.
And just, like, really sucking on the straw. And so he sits down. I put his cape on, and I'm like, so, you know, what are we doing today? And he's like, you know, like, haircut. And I was like, okay, great. Yeah. How do you usually get it cut? Well, I don't really know. And I was like, okay, so when you typically get your haircut, do they usually use scissors or do you get clippers? You know, what do they usually do? And it's not super, like, most people know that. Like, do they use a machine on the sides or is it just all scissor cut? Like, that's pretty easy to determine. Super common for someone not to know, like, the clipper guard that gets used, anything like that. Right. Not a big deal. I can figure all that out. But I'm like, just a starting point. Do you get clippers or just scissors usually? And this answer was the craziest answer I've ever gotten in my life. And it, like, I had to, like, physically keep myself from having an outward reaction. So I said, you know, you usually get clippers or scissors? You know, how do you usually get your hair cut? I don't know. I'm not from around here.
What?
This guy...
It was an alien.
He escaped Area 51.
That was an alien.
He escaped Area 51.
And he had to change. I'm not around here.
He had to change his identity.
Do they have scissors from where you are, sir?
And then I would say the first thing that comes to mind is my worst experience. This is a story that I have told you. This woman came in. I had been doing her hair for months at this point. I'd done her hair several times, highlighted her hair many times.
Right.
She comes in one day and she didn't have an appointment. Uh-huh. I had done her hair like a week prior.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in and I can just tell that, like, she's in a mood. Like, she comes in, she just opens the door to the salon aggressively.
Uh-huh.
And then she's, like, holding her phone out. She has a friend on speakerphone with her.
Oh,
and
God.
She has come into the salon to confront me.
Oh, my God.
Because she just looked in the mirror, and there are no highlights on the underneath portion of her hair. And so she says it like just like that to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right. Yeah. We've been doing a partial highlight. You know, I've always only highlighted the top and sides. You know, we've never done the underneath. And she's adamant. No, I always get a full. I have been paying you $70 to highlight my hair. And I was like, yeah, no, that's a partial. I've never put any highlights in the underneath of your hair. Let me show you. And so her friend is like, tell her what you told me. Tell her what you told me. And she's just like,
oh my God.
Her friend is like egging her on this phone. And her friend is calling me unprofessional and all this stuff, which I will say, I'm very laid back on this podcast. I am super professional.
Yes,
like when
are.
It comes to dealing with my clients.
Yeah.
And so she's pissed. And I'm trying to explain to her that she's only ever gotten a partial. Every time I've done her hair, I've never put highlights on the underneath of her hair. And so I am talking to her and I'm like, you know, if you'll give your friend a call back in a few minutes, let me show you what I do. I'll walk you through it. I'll show you everything. And she's like, her friend's like, she's just trying to get you off the phone with me. She's just trying to get you off the phone with me. And I'm like, I promise you I'm not. I just want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
So that we can make sure that we're on the same page. And so she does. She gets off her phone. I have her sit down in my chair. I part her hair off and I show her, these are the portions that I highlight every time. This part, you'll notice there's no highlight in it because I never highlight it. Like if I had highlighted it a couple times ago, but didn't do it this time, you would have highlights like from the mid shaft to the ends. There's no highlights there. She got so pissed. She like ripped her cape off that I'd put on her. Uh-huh. She threw it on the ground and then she about slipped on it, getting up out of the chair. And she screamed at me that she had $3,000 in her purse and all she wanted me to do was fix her hair for Christmas and I was refusing to do that. And I was like,
what?
That's not at all what we talked about. And then she stormed out of the salon. Said she'd be telling everybody what a horrible stylist I am. I was like, okay, great, thank you. Have a great day.
Brandy ruins Christmas.
Why'd you have to ruin her Christmas?
I didn't. It was not my intention to ruin her Christmas at all.
Well, the unfortunate thing is to get a full set of highlights with you is $4,000.
That's right. So she was just shy.
She was shy.
$70 for a partial.
$4,000
for a full.
Gosh. Seems like a deal to just get a ton of partials. If you had to do a podcast on some other topic, what would it be? This is from Gadriel.
God, that's hard because I was thinking the other day how much I love the topic our topic now, because I like to be able to do something really horrible and sad, but also super light and ass blowy, like Olestra.
Yeah. I really loved our Patreon episode, the unsolved stuff. So I think if I was going to pick a different topic, I think I might do
unsolved. Yeah, that was really, really fun.
Yeah.
That's out now, by the way.
Yes.
We both did these crazy unsolved cases.
It was super. It was voted on by the patrons and
it was so fun.
Loved it. It was super fun.
B. Barcenas?
Yeah, it's B. Barcenas.
B. Barcenas. What are your guilty pleasure TV shows? I think I know the answer to both of these.
Well, for me, it's obviously Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders Making the Team. I fucking love that show.
What do you think mine is?
Family Feud.
I do love the Family Feud. Really, anything on the Game Show Network. Actually, I'm kind of obsessed with this new game show on the Game Show Network. It's called America Says, and it's pretty awesome.
I feel like you need to go have this conversation at a nursing home to get around people who will actually know what you're talking about.
I love the Game Show Network. Yeah, that's definitely my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
The Game Show Network.
Shows.
Yeah.
I cannot stand Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders Making the Team.
It's cowboys because there's more than one of them. And how dare you?
I've literally never seen an episode. I didn't even know the show existed until you talked about it.
Well, you're missing
Everyone out. Looks the same on that show.
No, they have brunettes too.
I was gonna say, they're all blonde. Yeah, blonde, long blonde hair.
And the way they edit the show is I can't stand it. I cannot stand the editing.
What is wrong with the editing, sir?
Because when they dance, they edit in a music track over it, yeah, not the actual music track they use.
And it's a low budget show.
It's very distracting.
It's a low budget show. Mm. They get the royalty free music. Although
they use legit music.
Oh, well, in later seasons, yes, yeah. But in early seasons, it was like da na 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 na. You know, like, I don't know what this is.
Final question from J.M. Capizius. This is a good one. What is your go-to candy or snack for long road trips?
Ooh, I've got a weird one.
What is it?
I like, and Norman knows this, I love, they're hard to find, but Twizzler nibs. Not regular.
It's Twizzlers. My car snack is Twizzlers. Uh-huh. I love the nibs, too.
Yeah,
nibs
it's not
are
like,
very rare.
It's they not
are,
like overly sweet.
Yeah. I love Twizzlers. But they're just in all forms. I like the nibs. I like the originals. I like the pull and peels. I don't like the weird fruit ones with the junk in the middle. Disgusting. I don't want those ones. But the Twizzlers are my car snack.
You know what? I feel like this has been locked in since elementary school together. We've gone on so many road trips. And you know what? My mom loves licorice. So I bet you.
It's probably.
Listener homework. Count the number of times anal leakage has been said in this podcast. And two, send us Twizzlers to the P.O. box.
This is how we cash in, huh?
I have one. Before listener homework, I have one more tidbit that we need to talk about on the show.
One more nib?
One more nib. One more Twizzler nib.
Okay.
My mom texted me and is claiming responsibility for our friendship.
Yes. Okay. You told me about this. I'm so excited you're telling this on the podcast. So,
we talked about on a recent episode about us, how something that we did in the fifth grade, and like that was the year we became friends and whatever. My mom texted me and she said, "Oh my gosh, I am responsible for your guys' friendship in a roundabout way."
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Mom, sure. It couldn't just be that, like, we're both amazing and gravitated towards each other. So we became friends when we were in Mrs. Francis's fifth grade class. Yep. And I assume we were sat by each other because it was probably, we were sat alphabetically, right? And so.
Which, for anyone who's like, bleh, no, we both had last names that started with P.
Yes.
So we were definitely right next to each other.
Yeah. So I was originally supposed to be in a different class. So I was assigned, there was like one male teacher at our elementary school. My sister, Casey, had him, and my mom didn't love, she thought he was a great teacher, didn't love the social experience that my sister had in his class. And she thought it just wasn't the right environment for me. And so she wanted me in a different class. So she called the school and they're like, sorry, we don't do that.
People around,
you get the class you get. And my mom, like, made a big stink about it, I guess. And somebody moved out of district. And when that person moved, they gave me their spot in Mrs. Francis's class.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's how we became friends.
Shout out to Brandy's mom.
That's right.
Yeah. I should say, just for that one lone male teacher, Kyla had him when she was in fifth grade. Loved him.
Well, and Casey really liked him when she had him, too. Yeah. It's just some thing. I don't know. You know, moms, whatever.
You know how moms be.
Yeah, that's right.
Arranging your life for you. Finding your BFF.
Finding your lifelong BFF. So thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thank you. All right, should we do Supreme Court inductions?
Oh, yes.
Do you know how to open?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, Kristen.
Go ahead and get your phone out.
You stop it.
For this induction, I'd like you to all rise and grab your favorite bag of potato chips.
Excellent. Kara Ryan.
Stinkin' cute. Oh, we're doing least favorite words.
Oh,
God,
Lord.
Damn it.
For this round of inductions, we are still sticking with least favorite words. Kara Ryan.
Stinkin' cute.
Marissa Kolka.
Anyways.
Cindy Smith.
Fester.
Ew. Ew. That is bad. Brenda Futrell.
Tits.
I have to disagree. I like tits.
I think a lot of people like tits. Unpopular opinion.
I like tits. Allie Bromhead.
Penetration.
Oh, terrible word. Ugh. Ugh. It gives me a feeling in my, like the, oh no.
Like you've been penetrated?
I knew you were going to say that. Amanda Baker.
Hubby slash wifey.
That's also bad. Hey, girl.
She's hubby. One of my clients. I don't like hubby.
No, no one does.
Jen Richter.
Pussy. Ew, I don't like it either.
I hated the way you said it.
Well, how was I supposed to say it?
Oh, no. It sounded terrible.
Pussy. Yeah,
it sounded terrible. Welcome to the Supreme Court. Thank you guys for all of your support. We appreciate it. If you're looking for other ways to support us, please find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, YouTube, all of those places. Head on over to our Patreon if you've not signed up for that. Patreon.com/LGTC podcast. And then be sure to join us next week.
And subscribe to us.
Oh, hell, that's right. And after you've subscribed to us, be sure to join us next week.
When we'll be experts on two whole new topics.
Podcast adjourned.
And now for a note about our process. I read a bunch of stuff, then regurgitate it all back up in my very limited vocabulary.
And I copy and paste from the best sources on the web, and sometimes Wikipedia.
So we owe a huge thank you to the real experts. For this episode, I got my info from the Center for Science and the Public Interest, MedicineNet.com, the Boston Globe, and Wikipedia.
And I got my info from an article from the Houston Press by Steve McVicker called False Sense of Security, as well as an episode of I Survived.
For a full list of our sources, visit lgtcpodcast.com.
Any errors are, of course, ours, but please don't take our word for it. Go read their stuff.